Welcome to Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group and Trading Technologies. For more information on the show, visit us online at futuresradioshow.com. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudelli.
Hello, and welcome to episode 95 of Futures Radio Show. Today, we talk to an old school trader that has been a teacher, a coach, and real estate investor. His name is Dennis Parmalee. Dennis talks to us about his journey from being a teacher and a coach to getting heavily involved in the real estate market and eventually becoming a full-time e-mini S&P futures trader. Dennis and I discussed what it means for traders to pay their dues and why full-time or part-time traders should treat trading like a business. He gave us great points about using our time wisely as traders and explains why he thinks that traders need to determine their own style and not blindly follow someone else. Dennis and I met on Twitter, but eventually we met in person. He and I went out to dinner with fellow trader and Futures Radio guest Fari Hamzy. I love meeting other traders. There's a bond between all of us that is hard to explain to those that don't trade. It was once said to me on this show from Howard Lindzen that trading is a language, and he couldn't be more right. It was great having Dennis on the show today, as it reminds me once again that trading is not just about the technicals or fundamentals. It's about the great people and relationships that make up the industry. Thank you all for listening. Please enjoy this episode. Dennis, welcome to the show.
Anthony, thank you so much. Appreciate this opportunity.
Well, it's great to speak with you, Dennis. Now, we've had dinner, we've had lunches, and we've had a lot of conversations. It's great to have you on the show today. Now, although I know you pretty well now, you are a first-time guest of the show, so I'd like to start off by asking you if you could just tell us your backstory, if you could tell us how you got started in the industry.
Well, and that goes back a few years. It's probably been about 25 years now. I started out in education. That was where I studied at Springfield College. I got a master's degree in physical education, did a lot of coaching, became a recreation director, assistant golf pro. So that's my background. I love athletics, and there's so many parallels that we can draw from athletics and sports and teamwork and use in the trading business. So with that background, I got into real estate for, I'd say, about 10, 12 years, building houses after that first career. And I've been blessed to have a number of careers, Anthony, and enjoyed all of them. And I went through some hard times as a real estate developer and builder after making a lot of money fast. I thought it was really easy. And then I got my head handed to me. And I've seen it all, paying 21% interest on construction financing for my first house. And I didn't understand that, you know, that was an anomaly and that, you know, it was hard to make money in the business in those years. And they were throwing money at us left and right in the mid-80s for projects that we were doing. And then all of a sudden it came to a standstill. And so I had to figure it out. What do I do? You know, I'd given up my career as a teacher and I had to figure out what do I want to do next. I was still so naive that I said, well, I know real estate at this point, so let me go out there and get my broker's license. And I did, and I scratched together some business and learned how to run that from both sides, from selling and from helping buyers. And I ran into one of my agents that I had hired who introduced me to Ken Roberts. And he talked to me about silver and how silver was going to go flying and we should get involved. And so I did. You know, he and I teamed up together and I learned from him and he was very emotional about it. And I could see immediately that it wasn't a good fit to team up with somebody. And we had even split a few trades with Lynn Waldock was the broker. He got us in and we made some money very fast in that. And so I got hooked immediately. And he wanted out. He wanted to take the fast money and run. And I didn't have a problem with that. I said, fine, you know, here's your app. I'll go back in on my own. At that time, silver was trading under $5 and oil was under 10. My wife said, why don't we buy some of this? I said, you know, I don't know. I don't know enough about oil. I was listening to trade shows and I was starting to go to, you know, seminars and ran into Larry Williams and you know, all of a sudden I started to see that this was, you know, a business that could really help me long term if I studied and was patient enough. So I did get into it. I went to seminars. I was one in New Haven, run by Oliver Velez. Fantastic. And at the same time, in the ballroom next door, there was 500 people there, and they were rooting for Donald Trump's real estate seminar. And I looked at my wife and I said, you know, this is probably the top in the market. There's only five people in this room that was being run by Oliver Velez. And he treated us like we were royalty, like there were 1,000 people there. And I started to understand that if I could cobble together ideas from a number of different styles, it would serve me well. So I got started on the options then, but then once I discovered the E-mini S&P, I just fell in love with that. It was something you could focus on, and it was something that you could just get up every day, and it was there. You didn't have to go screening through thousands of stocks and whatever. So, you know, I cut my teeth on those type of seminars and the New York Expos, and all of a sudden, you know, I decided that, okay, let me go to a few rooms, and I anteed up and, you know, paid the $2,500 here and there to join systems and courses. And I soon realized that you had to match your style with somebody else, and they had to be doing things that were reasonable for me. So truth be told, nobody can really go out there and just duplicate and copy somebody else. You have to kind of say, what's my capital? What's my emotional intelligence? What's my time available? In one room I was in, this guy was a fantastic trader. And he really, he used Murray Math, which I use. I learned that from him. But he didn't share. He was just calling trades, but never really teaching. And I decided with my educational background, I want to do more than that. I wanted to help people. That was my calling. And to do that, I needed to teach them and not just make a call. So I continued moving on to traders like that and people that I found I could relate with. One guy in that room came in for 5 minutes every morning. He was a doctor. He put a big size on. All he wanted to know is what's the trade for the first 5 minutes. And then he was gone. A lot of people on Twitter miss that. They don't understand. It's not only about, you know, your accuracy with your direction, but how much size you have. And a guy like that, he was a doctor, and he was done in 5 minutes and gone. And if he made it, fine. If not, it was still a function of his total capital. So, you know, he never bet so much that it was something that would hurt his account. And I think that's an important lesson that I learned very early on, that, you know, size helps, but you certainly have to have it proportionate to the size of your account. So that's where my background has come from, and eventually migrated to helping other traders in their rooms. And then I said, I want to do this on my own. So that's how I evolved and eventually created my own sites where I could help traders. So that's pretty much where I'm coming from, Anthony.
All right. I love the backstory, Dennis. It's always interesting to talk to people how they were doing something else in life, and then they had a conversation with someone about trading. And then once they traded, it just kind of just, they just loved it, and they couldn't get away from it. I've had several conversations with traders about that. Now, I want to dive in a little bit deeper into some of the things you had mentioned, you know, in your bio. And, you know, you're an old school guy. I think anyone could tell just from speaking with you and hearing you talk. You believe in studying and learning. You talk about that from your teaching background. And you love to learn from top traders in the industry. And you and I have had several conversations about paying your dues. And I know that I have paid my dues. And really, I feel that you're kind of always paying dues in this business, right? And you have some strong thoughts on traders paying their dues. Can you share those thoughts with us?
Absolutely. And yes, you and I, that's part of the value structure that we all have, which I believe is very important. So guys like you and I may have different methodologies and strategies and techniques that we use, but we still have a certain value system in play. And I believe that's the strength of this business, being able to talk to others, guys like you and guys like Ferry that I've been able to sit down with and talk. And you don't feel threatened by me, and I don't feel threatened by you. It's just a sharing of professionals with ideas and trying to help each other grow our own business. So I think it's important you start paying your dues and listening to those giants that have gone before us. And there are a lot of them, the John Murphys and Larry Pesaventos and Oliver Velez and Kevin Haggerty. A guy like Don Miller, I called Don Miller one time. I was having troubles and I was struggling to understand things. And I knew that he was a good trader. I'd followed him on Trading Markets. And I picked up the phone and I called him. He was very gracious with his time and gave me some ideas. I still have those in my journal. I wrote down all of the notes that he gave me. And to this day, I can still go back and refer to that. So I think it's important that we do our homework. And I've discovered along the way that things that I think traders should know when they come to me and study, they probably don't. And that's a hang up that I have personally, whereas I don't understand that it's been 25 years I've taken to accumulate this knowledge. And I think because I say something, they will understand it. And then I'm coming to realize they really don't. And that's not to be pompous. It's just to say that it's like a third grader trying to learn, you know, high school calculus. They just have not had the experience yet and haven't paid enough time sitting in front of a computer and watching and learning from the market moves. So I think that's really, really part of it, Anthony.
Yeah, I think that with the access that we have now from mobile devices having trading on them, you know, you could really access it from any browser depending on what platform you're using to trade. The access gives people, they feel the immediacy to trade. They just want to go out there and just trade. They don't want to really, like you said, pay their dues and do a little bit of that homework. And it's like, I'm come from the background where I really needed to have actually earned my way to becoming a trader. I was a clerk. You know, I was a runner. I did all those different things on the floor to eventually like learn the business and trade. And I think that a lot of traders need to really think about that before they begin to trade. So good stuff, Dennis. Now, let's talk about the business aspect of trading. Now, you and I both agree on this, that whether you are a part-time or full-time trader, you have to treat trading as a business. So tell us how you treat trading as a business and tell us what you think is the highest and best use of our time and money as traders.
Well, as you know, I think that's probably the heart of any business is what is the highest and best use of our time and money. You look at people like Michael Jackson. He's been dead for how many years and look how much money he continues to make every year. So time is one of those factors that we have a limited amount of. And the goal is not necessarily to sit in front of a screen all day long, but, you know, can we reasonably, with reasonable risk, make something, take something out of the market that day and then get on with our life? I think that is the biggest challenge for a lot of us. We get so committed to it and so fascinated with it that you need to set boundaries. And you need to, I used to do that when I came home from teaching. My wife would say, leave it there. You know, it's time for dinner. No more phone calls, no more work. And you need to put a boundary around that, you know, your workload. Most of us work 12 hours a day. Everybody thinks that there's an easy business. I spend an inordinate amount of time, and I'm sure you do as well. And that gets lonely for our spouses. And as we get older, you value that time. So the business aspect, it takes time to accumulate capital, takes time to sit there and understand systems and strategies and risk and reward ideas. There's so many distractions that are out there that come into play. It takes money just to get started, not only for your account, but for your data feeds and monitors and computers and So that's the hidden cost of this business that people have to pony up if you're going to play this game. So that's a little bit about how I think probably the single most misunderstood idea is capital. There are traders with a large enough bankroll that they can kind of just go up and down the ladder and scale in and out and make a lot of money without having to be very skillful at identifying high odds turning points. I recognized early on I wasn't of that ilk when I was starting, that I needed to be much more precise. And my lessons in real estate had taught me that you cannot over leverage. And if you're wrong, you have to get out and lick your wounds and try again. And that's part of any business. You're going to have, you know, programs that work, whether it's buying and selling houses. You're going to have hidden costs that you didn't count on and things that jump out at you that you never even thought about, like soft costs. So that's part of this business. And I think people who come in with a very small account do themselves a disservice if they think they can make it in this business and live off the fruits of those labors. And that's why I think it's an older person's game as well.
Yeah, I think that a lot of traders come in with small accounts right away think about making money as opposed to protecting capital. They don't think about that from the business side. Now,
that's it.
You know, let's talk about strategy a little bit when we talk about business here. So a lot of traders in this industry, myself included, feel that traders need to search for a strategy and style that works for them. You just can't copy someone's style or strategy if it really doesn't fit your profile. And I don't believe that traders need to create new indicators or build systems. They don't need to go to that extent, I don't believe. But I just think that they need to do their homework, see what style fits their trading, and not just follow the book by following basic indicators. You know, I think they need to be a little bit creative. I actually had a great talk with Jeff Davis about this on the show. So, Dennis, tell me, where do you stand on this?
Well, I certainly think that you need to have you have to own the material. And by that, I mean, if you're just following somebody else's strategy, you're not going to, when it comes to risking capital, at least I'm not, I'm not going to feel comfortable pulling the trigger. That goes back to that fellow that I talked to you about earlier who, you know, just made the calls. So you need to have an understanding that is there a probability for a trade? And if so, is it going to be, you know, for 5 points, 10 points, 20? Who knows? Nobody knows. Once it starts moving, nobody knows exactly where it's going to end. And that's part of it. So I believe that you have to learn from people who may have strategies that are working. But if your match is not the same, for instance, a guy that has a big account and you're a small account, there's no way you can play the same game. If you're the kind of person that is coming in and out all day long, and that's how I got started in real estate, you know, I tried to schedule my appointments so that I was there in the morning and then go out in the afternoons. So part of it has to do with your time as well as your capital and your risk tolerance. Some people are very comfortable, averaging in. Other people don't want any part of it. They just want, as long as going in my direction, I'll add. So, again, I would have to say that the most important thing is that you're compatible with the person that is trying to coach you. We're not all going to be the same, but we need to have similar size accounts and trading horizons. In other words, somebody who wants to day trade really has to understand how that fits into the bigger picture of swing traders and position traders. And just because someone is coaching us or teaching us and says, okay, you know, this is a position trade, doesn't mean you have to trade it that way. There are times when we're just can't be there all day long. That's the beauty of this business. We choose when we want to play and how much. So in times of, right now I'm going, here's a perfect example. My mom is 95 years old and I'm spending a lot of time with her at a nursing home. So I come in, I pay my dues in the morning and I go out in the afternoon and I go visit her and how you doing? I think it's a mistake to think that there's any one way to trade or any one style. Just like we all swing a golf club differently or swing a bat differently, we have to allow for those. That's the beauty of life, is that we can capitalize on our own strengths. And I think that's the most important message. If I had to give one message, I would say, you know, we have to find our own niche.
Well said, Dennis.
Thank you.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your most chaotic moment. Now, we've been asking all of our guests over the past month about how they traded during their most chaotic moments. And it's really because one of our sponsors, Trading Technologies, has been doing a chaos-based campaign, which you can all check out on TT's blog. Now, I've been asking traders, what were your challenges during your most chaotic moment? How did you manage against them? And what was the outcome? So, Dennis, can you tell us about your most chaotic moment?
This would be probably in a longer term strategy immediately that comes to mind. That fellow that taught me originally about the value of using futures, but he said, let's get started with options. So we had embarked on a campaign to do some strips on silver. And he said it's in a long, narrow, sideways channel. It's it's hovering between $3.50 to $5, but someday this is going to take off. So I had bought a bunch of strips. He had left the business at that point, and I was on my own. But I was in love with it, and I went and bought tons of silver options about a year out. And as my last one was expiring worthless, it started to break out and take off. And I didn't know what to do. And that was more of an omission in terms of chaos, because I'd been hitting it pretty good in real estate. And I just said, this is going to go. And I was buying, tons of options cheap when they were down. And I just said, okay, I'm going out 1 year in these things. And it took that long for this to take off. I didn't realize that. And my mistake at the time was, as my last one was expiring, I didn't do anything. So I didn't get hurt, but I lost some money, on what I thought would be a great trade that would, set me up for the rest of my life. And so I got my head handed to me. And then, I told my wife, I said, hey, we missed the boat, ship has sailed and I don't know what to do. So, at that point you say, there's another opportunity. I've lost some money, but it's limited. And it was a risk reward trade that could have paid off big, but it didn't. But so what? There's another bus coming around the corner. So I think from the sidelines, we can think clearly. And that philosophy has served me well, where, okay, if I'm confused, I don't need to be in the market. I can go to the sidelines. And Anthony, I'm sure you've experienced that too, where, I've even written about it, it's on my site. It's like your hand is in a meat grinder, and they just keep tightening it, and you can't get out. So, you have to cut your losses, and you have to immediately go to the sideline and say, okay, that's my uncle point. I'm not going to lose anymore. And let me reassess the direction. Let me reassess, and not from a revenge standpoint, but from a common sense standpoint. And if you're emotional about it, you're not going to be able to do that. It's impossible. A guy runs a red light on you. You're yelling and screaming at him. If that's your personality, you're probably not going to do well in this business, because this will test every ounce of our emotional control and our discipline.
Yes, it will. Oh, yes, it will. Good stuff today, Dennis. Now, are you ready for our rapid fire segment?
Rapid fire, sure. At my age, I don't know what the definition of rapid is, but let me do my best.
All right, let's begin. What's your favorite book about trading or the markets?
Well, there are obviously a number of them, but comes to mind is How to Make Stock Market Make Money for You by Ted Warren. I probably, on my side, I've listed the books that I've read and in my library, but that one just showed me the manipulation of the market. And I was too naive to understand that until I read that. And then I said, okay, this is how they play, just head fakes all over the place. There's not, a lot of times it's not real. There's going to be things that come at you. I love that book. And if I had to pick a second one, probably Sticky Charts in terms of technique. Go ahead.
What's your favorite movie or TV show about trading or the markets?
Wall Street. Gordon Gekko. Nothing better.
What's the best piece of advice you've received about trading or the markets?
Yeah, two come to mind. First was from G, that trader that I studied with. Never let it run against you. He said it'll kill you. And I think we've all heard him say size kills. I think if you put those two together, letting it run against you and going in big size, they're going to carry you out in a body bag.
If you can give a piece of advice to the young people interested in getting involved in trading, what would it be?
Well, I think the younger generation is certainly an appropriate topic, but I like the older generation too, because they've had time to mature and grow their capital. So for anyone, including retirees, I would say study with at least three or four pros, and that's even gotten easier as Twitter and technology has evolved, and see different styles and see which one resonates with you personally. And there are so many good traders out there that we can learn from. So I would have to say just study a few different people and say, okay, that guy knows what he's talking about. I'm going to follow him and I'm going to learn from him. Guys like Future Trader 71, Fib Doctor and Ferry and you with your 60-minute closes. You guys have made some outstanding calls. And that's the beauty of it. We all use different techniques, but arrive at similar conclusions usually. So surround yourself with a few good men and women and learn from them.
Great stuff today, Dennis. Before I let you go, is there anything else you'd like to add to today's show?
Well, I'd like to thank you personally. I met you. We've had a chance to break bread together in a relaxed environment. And I love the camaraderie. I think it does wonders for my self-confidence to be embraced by people like you and people like Ferry and people that have called me on the phone and talked with me. So I reach out to those. I'm accessible. Anybody wants to talk with me, and phone numbers on the site, you're welcome to call. And I believe that's what life is all about. Life's a ladder. And my philosophy is that there are people above us who have helped us and reached back to pull us up. And it's our job to do the same with those newer traders who are trying to learn our profession.
Yeah, Dennis, it was great to meet you in person as well. I always love meeting traders, and we had a good time. You, myself, and Fiery all going out to dinner. It was really a blast. I really cherished that night. Now, where can people find you on Twitter?
Well, on Twitter, it's e@emanwizard.com. That was our original legacy site where I started, and I've moved on now to marketwizards.com. They can find me there as well, where I tried to update things and trying to encourage other traders to come on board and learn some of the things I'm teaching and then share it with others. So the phone number is on the site as well, 203-215-7756.
I highly recommend everyone go out there and check out Dennis on Twitter and his website. As you can tell from hearing him today, he's just a super nice guy, straight up guy. Dennis, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I look forward to having you back on the show again in the future.
Thank you so much, Anthony. Be well.
Thanks for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you enjoyed the show, please rate us and leave a review on iTunes. For previous episodes or to discuss and comment about the show with myself or my guests, please visit us at futuresradioshow.com. Don't forget to become a premium member today for free by signing up to our email list.